So the darkness didn't comprehend it. This is the Son of God that we are talking about. Verses 1 through 5. This is very God from eternal ages past that has now in our story come down to earth and been born as truly a human being as any person that is sitting in this room. And we switch subjects here in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now we are not talking here about John who wrote this book. Okay, this is John the Baptist. Hope that none of you guys would be confused about that. But there's a couple Johns listed in the scriptures. And since that time, there has been a couple more, and a couple more, and a couple more. In fact, I think we could almost populate a heaven with Johns. There's been a lot of them. But this was the Apostle John. John the Baptist was killed before Jesus even died on the cross. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him, that is through that light, that all men through Jesus might believe. John had a purpose for coming. I misspoke that. Yeah, that John is the Apostle John who is writing this. Is John the Baptist who he is writing about? I screwed that up. I think I said it right the first time, and then when I just finished the sentence, I flubbed it up. No, this is John the Baptist in verse 6, the man that was sent from God, whose name was John. The Apostle John is writing the story about John the Baptist. It would be quite unique to have the name of John and write stories about John. How would you feel about that, John? As far as me and Aaron are concerned, though, John isn't so popular as Timothy is. We got a lot of Timothys around. I'll tell you one thing, I ain't naming any of my sons Timothy. Okay, so John the Baptist came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that is Jesus, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, verse 8, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This is reiterated a number of times through this first chapter, stressing the fact that John the Baptist was not the Messiah. We probably read those verses and wonder why they even say what they say. But if you went back a couple thousand years ago, and John the Baptist has thousands and thousands of baptized disciples who are following him, they needed very clear teaching on just exactly who John the Baptist was. Because it is very likely that John the Baptist had a time of his life sometimes getting his disciples to follow Christ. Because we get set in our own ways, and we find this man John who's teaching the way of the Lord, and he baptizes us, and he's our hero now. And now he's telling us to follow this other man who never did anything for us, as far as we know. And so it is stressed in this gospel about three times. He was not that light. Mr. John the Baptist was not the Messiah. He was just sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, There is a horrible doctrine that has permeated Christianity since the Reformation. We call it the doctrine of original sin. And there is a true doctrine of original sin. Okay, don't get me wrong. It's Adam's sin. The doctrine of original sin, very truthfully, is the fact that Adam sinned. And so because Adam is no longer a good man, now he's an evil, defiled person, all the offspring that has come from Adam from that day until this have been born defiled with Adam's sin. All right? We're born in sin. We go astray from the womb, the scripture says. And because of that reason, some people have not some, but millions of people have taught how that specific thing makes man unable to do anything at all. Unable to save himself, unable to pray, unable to think a right thought, unable to see the truth. Just completely, it completely puts man's salvation 100% into the hand of God. And unless God comes and reaches down and says, hey, I'm going to save you, no man can do a thing. Now, the scripture does not teach that. In Romans, it says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. When God says that you should do something, He meant it. God did not tell men to repent when they couldn't even listen to Him or think a thought about it or do it. When God commanded man to repent, He wanted man to repent. Now, the fact of the matter is, because the doctrine of original sin is the truth, and because man cannot save himself, because there's absolutely nothing good we can do, because we are filthy from the inside out and have no hope outside of Jesus Christ, we are attracted a little bit to that doctrine. It becomes very, it seems like the right thing when it's taught to us. It is the right thing all the way up until you go into error in a ditch, all right? The Bible says that was the true light, verse 9, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. All right? Every man that comes into the world is given enough of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to know they need repentance and to know they need a Savior. Every man has been given that. The doctrine of original sin can be as true as any true thing that has ever been. And it has not hindered Jesus Christ from getting His light to shine on every human being. It has not given man a place of ignorance or defeat where he can't do anything. It has not put man in a place where he cannot have sorrow for his sin and turn to God like the publican and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It has not put man in a place where he cannot repent. It has not put man in a place where he cannot fall on his face and say, God, there's absolutely nothing I can do for myself. If you don't save me, I'm lost. It has not put man in a place that he can't do that. Man cannot save himself. He cannot take care of his sins. He cannot do anything to make himself a Christian at all. But he can repent of his sin. He can see the light that was given to him by Christ. And he can fall on his face before God and ask for mercy. Those three things every human being on the face of the earth can do, regardless of the doctrine of original sin. And there's not one shred of scripture anywhere in the Bible that makes the doctrine of original sin out to be anything that hinders man from making that turn to God. There's not one word. I believe in the doctrine of original sin. I believe in Adam's sin. I believe it corrupted the whole human race. But it did not put man in such a place that Jesus had to personally come in and infuse some light and life into the soul, in the conversion of the sinner, before he could repent. There is not one single word in Scripture to even push us even a hair in that direction. And you know why some people believe that? Because they're holding on to a big tower system of doctrine that requires that kind of thinking. Okay? They didn't, they don't believe that because they read it in the Scriptures. They believe it because it fits well with a system that they hold to. That system, specifically known as Calvinism, may contain, if you will, even 90% truth. It doesn't, but it contains a lot of truth. But when you get a system that is truth, based on truth, and good, solid Bible food, the truth of the gospel, you can take that system and you can blow it to pieces by putting some error into it. And so, original sin, a true biblical doctrine, does not prevent every single human being from having the ability to repent and to turn to Christ. That repentance and turning to Christ won't do anything for them if Jesus doesn't save them. They can't, they're in chains. They are bound. I mean, let's put it like this. Let's say you're going to be you're a wicked sinner. I doubt any of you are you? Any of you guys wicked sinners? Come on now, your hands should all be up. You're all wicked sinners. So let's say you're a sinner. You're full of lust. You're full of hate. You don't love God. You don't get along with people. You cheat and you steal and you lie and whatever you can think of deep inside the heart where you don't talk to anybody about, you've got it there. And you say, okay, I'm going to repent. So what does repentance mean? Well, I'm going to quit cheating. I'm going to quit lying. I'm going to quit being full of lust. I'm going to quit hating. I'm going to love God. Is that repentance? Okay, wait. Repentance is the determination to quit those things. You think you're actually going to accomplish it? You won't get one step down the road without salvation through Jesus Christ. You won't get one step on the journey. All right? So you can't actually take your life and decide, I'm not going to be a sinner anymore. I'm going to be a clean person without God. But repentance, the first step of repentance is not to change. It is to determine to change. And when God finds a person on his knees crying out for salvation, saying, sorry for my sins, God saves that person according to my Bible. So every human being on the face of the earth is given an equal and absolute chance by God Almighty to turn to Him for salvation. One is not favored over another. Every man that came into the world was given light. That is, even the ones who never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And Romans goes into that. We're not studying the book of Romans right now. But the very things of creation, the things that we see with our own eyes since we're little, teach us of God. And there is enough light in creation, Romans tells us, that we could have the knowledge of who God is and what is right and wrong, basically. That's what Romans tells us. We have consciences inside that teach us, that God created there, that teach us what is right and wrong. And we have the evidence around us of the Creator, that we systematically do everything that we can to disown and throw out. But, nevertheless, when Jesus comes back to earth and sits on a throne, and all the dead are raised, and all the people are gathered together, and they come and they stand before Him, one after another, and judge them, He is judging in righteousness. You know how He's judging in righteousness? Because they personally had the opportunity to do something better than they did with their life, and they rejected Christ. And that is the basis on which they are getting judged. They are not getting judged on the basis that God determined before He created the world that they were going to be judged. Because if God sat down and said, I'm going to create 7 billion people that I am not going to give an opportunity to be saved, and I'm going to judge them someday, God is back to that what we were talking about in the beginning. He is the rule maker and the rule keeper of His own set of rules. That is not righteousness. God Himself would fall from righteousness if He deviated from the standards of righteousness that He gave to us in His Word. Some people would scream and run to the other side of the world to hear a person say that, because they don't believe in a God like that. That's disrespectful to think that God could do something unrighteous, because being that the fact that He is the most supreme being, He answers to nobody. And that is the truth. He answers to nobody. But that does not change the fact that He is righteous. And He doesn't have to answer to you or the angels or the devil or anybody else. He doesn't have to answer to them. But He does have to be righteous to call Himself righteous. And if His righteousness fails from the standard of righteousness, He's no longer righteous, no matter who He has to answer to. Verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He was in the world quite quietly in the beginning of His life, in such a manner as that it wouldn't necessarily be very likely for the world to have known who He was. But it didn't last very long that way. And who He was as God came out over and over and over again. We're going to read about it in the next 20 chapters in this book. We're going to read about who He was. That gives absolute, undeniable, full proof about who He was. But the world still rejects Him. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. There's no reason for the world not to know Him, but the world still doesn't know Him. I'm looking here to see where's a good stopping place. I think we're just going to crash through another couple verses here. It says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Who were His own? Came unto His own, and His own received Him not. That's what I would imagine. I don't think it was anybody who was truly born of God, because I don't think they could have rejected Him. So, the chosen, the elect, if you will, according to the Scriptures, the Israelites were the chosen and the elect people of God. They didn't receive Him. He came to His own, but He was rejected. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power, or the margin here reads, or the right or privilege. The word power in 1611 had a very strong meaning towards authority or right. Not so much as strength, which we more use the word today. When we use the word power today, it usually means more strength than it means authority, though we still do use it in the sense of authority when we talk about the powers that be. Those are the authorities. So, He gave the power or the right, the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. He did not come down to me and give me more muscles or bigger tools and say, now listen here, this is what you got to do to become a son of God. Here's what you need to do it. Go ahead and do it. No. He gave me the right to become the son of God. I didn't actually do anything, because the next verse says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And how many of you guys remember your birth? Nobody? You guys all have bad memories. You don't remember being born. How much work did you do? Did you ever ask your mom how much work you did when you got born? Like, did you help get yourself out? Or just as truly as you did nothing at all during your physical birth to get born, so truly did you do nothing at all to get born when you were born of God. That transaction of taking you from a sinner and turning you into a saint, making you into a son of God, was something that God did entirely. There's no man there. To those who received Him, He gave them the right to become the sons of God. And they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I was just doing some studying this afternoon on a couple verses here, and one of the first things I usually do if I'm going to study a verse is I just pull piles of translations out and just read translations from all different versions to see if there is anything that, just to see what other people did with the phrase that is hard to understand. Well, I found one more strike against the NIV, and it was a bad one. And I do read the NIV just for the fun of it. I don't actually read it for support. I read it just for the fun of it. They say, I forget the beginning of the verse, but it's, they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of husbands. Yeah, it says, nor of the will of man, but of God. They said, nor of the will of husbands. In other words, they missed it. They just missed it. Because they have a serious agenda to make an international version that is pleasing to Christians and non-Christians alike. We need to do something with this, nor of the will of man, because it doesn't include women. Oh, he must have just been talking about guys in this verse. So what on the face of the earth does being converted have to do with husbands? And what about the people who got saved who didn't have husbands? Or, nor of the will of husbands, but of God, they said. Oh well. Don't use the NIV, okay, please. Now this 14th verse is one of my favorites right now. I go through different favorites. But it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we are not going to study this verse tonight because we're already running late. We might actually be able to take an entire evening on just this verse. We're going to look next time, Lord willing, on how grace and truth filled up this word. How they work together. How they are not balancers, but actually are there both in full force. He was full of grace and truth. So if you guys want to do any studying on that this week and come prepared to speak, you go ahead and do that. And we'll dismiss.